Outstanding. So I can begin by asking how many people, by a show of hands, I won't ask you to stand, but by a show of hands, how many people did your homework? Wow. This is so good. Do you have it with you? By a show of hands. Oh, good, because see, now I don't have to preach much. That is so good. So those of you that might not have been here or don't know what I'm talking about, we have a theme for this year. It's in your bulletin. The theme is Epiphany. Today is Sunday, the liturgical day of Epiphany. The aha, the discovery of wonder. One of the names for Jesus Christ is wonderful, right? He is, what does wonderful mean? Full of wonder, right? Yeah. To be full of wonder. When we think about him, hopefully our minds just go ecstatic as we think about not only who he is and what he's done for us already, but what he's coming to do. Amen? So that's our theme for the year, Epiphany, Discovery of Wonder. And the idea is, as you read through the scriptures this coming year, try and just have in the back of your mind that question of, what am I discovering in this text that's wonderful? That God would speak to us. Amen? So to kind of jumpstart that, I gave you the homework, which, if I wrote it down correctly, is I want you to write down all the words you can that describe who God is. I actually had one submission turned in to me, and this is just wonderful. This is concentrating on the names of God. And so this person listed out the scriptures and the names of God. For example, he is called Eternal God in Genesis 2:8, right? He is eternal. He's the Most High. So these are names of God. But does that describe in part, his name describes in part who he is, correct? What other names of God did you come up with? So if you would be so bold as to just stand where you are and share with me as much or as little of the names of God that you got. And did you raise your hand back? Is that Liam? Did you raise your hand that you did the homework? What? Well, would you stand and tell them to us? Genesis. He didn't have a clue I was going to do this, so if he can do it, you can do it, but go ahead. Describe who God is. Say again? The Lion. Lion of Judah. The Lamb of God. Excellent. Okay. They're off the hook. Anyone else? You've got your homework. Yes, ma'am. Stand right up. Okay, so someone needs to tell me what that was, because I'm deaf as a post. God is kind and God is good. That describes who he is. True or false?
True. He is wise, he is love, and he is wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father, prince of peace, author of all history, answer to all mysteries, indescribable, wonderful.
And where did you get that? Don't tell me your iPhone. No, I mean, where did you come across all that? So in reading your Bible, learning about who God is, those words kind of capture who he is. You're describing God. Huh?
Like I just wrote down that it's indescribable, so.
Indescribable. Okay, anyone else? Norma.
Creator, blesser, determiner. What will be made and how it will be done. He's a disciplinarian. He's a giver of choices. And he loves is a lover.
And could you all hear any of that? Okay, do you have text by that? Do you know what text it came from? Or is this just, you're just describing him from what you know?
I read and saw he created, put creator down, and then he blessed what he had done.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was good. He determined what would be made and how it would be made. So I got that out of, I only did the four chapters.
Four. Was 1 to 24.
Oh, well, I didn't get that one. I probably could have taken up the whole sermon if I did.
That would have been the goal. So,
I like
no, you're catching on. This is working just fine. Genesis 1 to 24 was the assignment. That's a lot. And yet it's only 3 pages a day. So is it a lot or is it not too much? See, when you think about what was going on in the life of man from Genesis 1 to Genesis 24, there's a lot that goes on. How about the whole creation in a couple of chapters? And then as Rex said, all the rest of it starts, we're trying to get back to what he did to begin with. But as you read the text, you start discovering who this God is that did the creation. So the first thing you come across is, yes, God is the creator. Is God the creator in your life? Well, Pastor Skip, what does any of this have to do with 2019? Well, how many of us recognize that we need a creator at work in our lives? Not just to make more dirt, but how about to give us life, to make life for us? So if we can understand that God is the creator, then we connect those dots to him. Does he love you?
Yes.
So, wait, he's the creator, and he loves me. So is he the kind of God that would create for me? If you read any of the meditative kinds of writers and those folks that know how to get away into nature and just be at peace with the creation, many of them will come to the conclusion that this all just couldn't happen. It's too wonderful.
Yeah.
It's too spectacular.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to have the debate with the scientists about it, because they can't explain it either. You with me? Well, it's good because science does explain how God does some things. Do you guys know who won the World Series last year? Do we have an answer? Okay, who won the Super Bowl last year? How about the World Cup? That's soccer, for those of you not Europeans. Do you know who won Wimbledon? How about who won the State of Oregon 4A football championships? Do any of you have any t-shirts, hats, or memorabilia of any kind from a sports team? Only 3 sports people in the, oh, no, there's some more, okay. Any of you, when you go to a concert of any kind, stadium concert or small cafe, do you ever go buy the CD? Huh? Sometimes. Yeah, if it was any good. What is it that really excites you? Some of you are going to say sports excite me, and then you could name a kind of sport. I was with my friend Tim Tuber last week for lunch, and he's trying to buy an ocean-going fishing boat. Right now he has something like a stream kind of runner boat, 14, 16-foot boat that he fishes in all the time. But he likes to go out in the ocean, and he takes that little boat in the ocean. He says, it's too little. Right, Larry? It's too little. So he's trying to buy something that's like 20 feet, that has a big bow on the front of it. He was describing it to me. It has to have a big bow, and then it has to have kind of a little, what do you call it, where you stand out of the weather?
A powerhouse.
Pilot house. And then you need a bigger engine, right?
You always need a bigger engine.
And I said, Tim, if you can fish in the streams that are nice and flowing and all that, why would you want to go out in the ocean? Well, because he wants to catch bigger fish. Bigger fish are underneath bigger waves. So you need a bigger boat. There's no end to it, is there?
And a bigger motor.
You constantly... So this... Just the little discussion about a boat. I got to eat my entire lunch while he told me about his boat. Now, if you want to eat your entire lunch, bring Rex, have him by, and he will tell you all about cars. If you want to know about Formula One racing, you invite Einar, and he'll buy your lunch while he tells you all about Formula One racing. What's the common thread here? That we are people who have passions. We are people who have interests. Yes, we get up and we go to work. Yes, we love our wives and families. All of that is wonderful. But we still kind of think we need something more. So we need boats and cars and sports teams. And now, ladies, you are not exempt. I understand that some of you meet here on Wednesdays. Allegedly to crochet. And without naming names, the church mouse has told me that great conversations occur during the crochet meeting. Because you want to share life, don't you? You want to share your stories. Dear ones, all I'm trying to hammer on us here is that this book, 3 pages a day, will fill you with wonder. And it'll give you more stories than you can even keep track of. Because I gave you the assignment, I felt like I should do the assignment. So there's my list. Whoop, there's my list. It's not too exhaustive. Genesis 1, he creates. He talks. Did you know God talks? I think a lot of us have, some subtle idea that God's off in heaven somewhere and doesn't relate to us. God speaks. It tells us that God sees. Have you ever tried to hide? Remember as a kid playing hide and seek? Remember? That's what you're doing a lot of your day. Trying to hide from God, right? We can't hide. He speaks, he sees, he knows what's going on. Yes, he commands and he blesses, he warns, he deals with sin. Genesis chapter 4, he marks. God marks. There's going to be a marking. Who did he mark early in the book? Cain? Why did he mark him? I want the mark of God. Yes? I do not want the mark of the enemy. I want to live a life well enough that God can say to me on that day, hey, good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. describe this God that you believe in, Skip? Well, he's a God who is worshiped. He's worshiped. We don't just carve a little thing and put it on the mantle and call that a God. We can't call that a God because we made it. Right? If we made it, it's not a God. How about this? God fellowships. He fellowshipped with Adam. Do you remember? They walked together in the cool of the evening. I don't know how long they walked in that garden, but they spent time together. He walked with Noah. It says that God fellowshipped with Noah. And then I love this guy, Enoch. If you've read chapters 1 through 24, you came into the understanding of Enoch, and God fellowshipped with him. I want that. One of my prayers is to go the way Enoch went. And go ahead and chuckle. But when I go poof, then you'll see. God feels sorrow, and he establishes covenant. I think Norma mentioned that. Genesis chapter 9, we read that God empowers. Where does power come from? And look what's going on in Washington, D.C. They all think they have power and they can't do a thing. They've shut down the government, which I think is a good thing. Yes. I read in the paper just this morning a few of the problems they're starting to have because the government is shut down, and that is that, like, airlines can't get their airplane certified because the government certifies the airline. Any kind of medicines that have to get certified, anything that requires federal licensing, is going to start to grind to a halt. Part of me is kind of hoping they'd grind the thing to a halt. You know, and then it would explode and we'd be back to having some freedom. I don't know. It could be interesting. He feeds and he gives signs. And one of the things it says, God remembers. So not only can we not hide from God, but he remembers what's going on in your life. Praise God for communion. Because if all he did was spend time remembering my sin, that wouldn't be too good, would it? But if he not only forgives, he forgets that sin because it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Is this not good? This is about the most spectacular thing a people could ever understand. In chapter 12, we understand that God calls. So the story of Abram is an interesting story, and it begins with a calling. Have you ever felt God or heard God call? I can tell you by personal experience, it's a fearful and awesome thing. I heard God's call, and I said no. I did. That can't be you anyway, right? You couldn't possibly mean me. Yeah. Right? And so what did God do? He was very patient. He spent 2 years putting me in the squeeze chute. 2 years just cranking the rails, you know. Finally I couldn't move in any direction. I finally said, okay, I'll answer this call, and this can't possibly work, but okay. Almost 40 years later, I'm still saying this can't work, but here we are. And so the call of God is not just for clergy people. You are a kingdom of priests. Amen? You are a royal priesthood. Can we get that? What is it that God would be calling you to do or be involved in? Be very careful. He may send you to Columbia. 10 years ago, did you think you'd be in Columbia? All Eddie hoped was he wouldn't be on the farm. That's all he was hoping for. We understand that God has lots of names. In chapter 18, God appears. I'm asking you in the text to describe God. Well, God is a God who appears. True or false? He appears to men and women and children. This is not a distant God. This is a God of the here and now. And how about this? Chapter 18, check it out, verse 8. God eats. Did you read that? He sat down and ate food. Well, wait a minute. If he's here, if he came down and he was here and he ate food, who was he? There's one word. He was God. Was he the pre-incarnate Jesus? Well, God is one God. Correct? So don't mess with it. Was he the Father? Yes. Was he the Son? Yes. Was he the Holy Spirit? Yes. How did he do it? Any way he wants. Religion is such a horrible thing because religion is man's attempt, in my definition, man's attempt to control his fellow man. Religion is a system where you, the people, do what I, the priest, tell you to do the way I tell you to do it because I am the one that knows stuff. And that's no good. What Pastor Skip is trying to do is get you guys into the book so much, so often, so deep, that you're coming and telling me stuff. Wouldn't that be cool? So if you did your homework, good job. I read these stories this week, and story is an amazing thing. Story is how our traditions are passed down. Story is how you keep your family involved with all the parents and grandparents and sisters and cousins and uncles and new babies. Lowsleys have a brand new grandbaby there. We didn't just read about the creation. This is just this week. You want to talk about having something to preach about? We could go for a while on creation, right? We could have more than one sermon on the creation. What about Adam and Eve? We could certainly go to town on that with lots of wonderful development of the creative power and force of God and what God wanted for them, what they enjoyed together, amen, before the fall. Cain and Abel, Noah and the flood, the making and establishing of covenant, then the lists of descendants. And you notice that the Bible gives us that those descendants of all these people and how many years they lived. And you think, why did they tell us how long all that was? You ever wonder about that? Why would they bother? Who cares if they lived 900 years? Well, if you read that life after life after life you read about lived into the hundreds of years, correct? And then after the flood, 120? 120 was the max, yeah. How many of us are living to 120? Something's amiss, right? God's going to recreate a lot of things. He's going to do a lot. The call of Abram, then Abram goes to Egypt. The Melchizedek shows up, and I just love the story of Melchizedek. It's a short story, but it's a powerful story. Ishmael, the story of Ishmael, we think, wow, he got gypped. But no, he didn't. God blessed him. Describe this God. Well, he's a God who creates. He's a God who names. He's a God who calls. He has assignment for us. There's a lot of wonder that could be discovered if we went looking in the pages. And then ask God, where do I relate to any of this? He changes Abram's name to Abraham. And very shortly after that, we have the interesting story of Sodom and Gomorrah. What is it that was so horrible in Sodom and Gomorrah to cause the probably a giant volcano to blow up and completely decimate them all? What do you think the sin was? It was sexual perversion. We don't talk sex much in church. Sex has become to have a dirty word. And that's wrong. God created sex and it's supposed to be beautiful. He created sex so that man and woman could do a lot more than procreate, so they could cuddle. This is going to freak some of you out, but so that they could be intimate. And it was within the boundaries of relationship and covenant. Yes? We could talk a long time about why sex is good. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, they just turned it into filth. Then there's the story about Lot and his daughters. Notice not the story about Lot and his wife and daughters. His wife disobeyed. She turned back, turned into a pillar of salt. We say, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, really? Are you God? God said, don't do a thing. You do a thing, you find yourself salty. I mean, that's not good. Would you describe this God of yours? Might be talking to your neighbor, and they want to go off on how the church they grew up in, you know, abused them, and how the whatever. That's not the God of the Bible, right? Abraham and Abimelech, then the birth of Isaac, and then this immense test of faith with Abraham taking his son Isaac and putting him on a pile of wood to burn up as a sacrifice. Which of us could do that? We say, well, what kind of a God would do that? Say, the same kind of a God that stopped Abraham and gave a lamb caught by his horns in a thicket, gave the lamb as the perfect sacrifice. And then the last story in these first 24 chapters that I spent any time at all looking at was the story of Isaac needing a wife. What a great story. Isaac needed a wife. And so God gave him Rebecca. You know, their coming together must have been very interesting. Do you ever think about that? Their courtship was, it started around a fountain, right? Around a well. And the way I read the story is that God must have been speaking into her heart very clearly, because she went to be his wife. And look, I don't know what this modern culture does to you, but I like the idea. I'm an old relic of a guy. I like the idea of a woman giving herself to a man. I like the idea as a man that she's my woman, because that comes with so much responsibility, requires so much integrity, cannot be trifled with in even the smallest way. I'm much more than a defender and a protector. Right? In fact, her well-being is my assignment. So any of you modern women that are into any kind of feminism at all, I rebuke you. And that is not chauvinism. That is not a superiority. We could take too many sermons to try and describe the relationship between man and woman. But it is meant to be holy. It is meant to be sacred. And that's why the enemy comes and attacks it so severely. These are the kinds of conversations I think we need to be having when people want to know about God. We don't need to get into debates about the Trinity. Let's talk about how we're supposed to live our lives. Right? Let's discover some wonder in this life. Now, all you young people that had to stay in here and listen to me today, see, the day's going to come, and I'll try not to stare at any one of you. I'll look at Dawn. The day is going to come when you young folks get to make your own choice. You get to decide whether you want to go to church or not. You get to decide what kind of a church you want to go to. You're going to get to enter into all kinds of discoveries. In fact, from your teenage years, you just are exploding in discovery. Yes? And your parents are trying to hold a lid on as best they can. And you're bucking against it because you want to explode out there and your parents are trying to hold you. I get it. I get it because I got grandkids now and I can take them and hand them back. That's just so cool. But dear ones, for 2019, I think the discovery of wonder should be on your assignment. That we're not just living the same old ho-hum every day, this is how it's going to be forever life. You with me? That there is wonder everywhere you go, everywhere you look, if you're thinking godly. If you are thinking worldly, times are tough, money's running out, my body is failing, medicines didn't work, boss didn't give me enough raise, can I go on? I mean, the world is really crummy. It's crummy because of the fall. But Jesus is coming. And one of two things is going to happen. You can bank on this because it's in the book. Either he is coming in my lifetime.
Hallelujah.
Or in my death time, I'm going to him. Either way, it's going to be wonderful. Amen? So let's not go through this year just thinking, oh yeah, I've got to slug through another one. Let's start reading the scriptures and looking for the wonder. You with me? So you've got next week's assignment in the reading assignment, and you're going to say, oh my gosh, I can't read more than four chapters. Four chapters.
That's
okay.
You read them four times.
You read them four times. If I paid you $1,000 for every page that you read, you'd have no trouble reading them.
Wow, per page.
Per page.
Wow. That's a heck of a turn.
God will pay you much more in much better currency. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people. Thank you, Lord, that you want to come and invest yourself in us. Thank you that you want us to live rich and full lives and to enjoy that with you. We thank you, O God, for your friendship. We thank you for your fellowship. We ask your blessing on us for 2019. Come and be God in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So God bless you, church. Let's have at it for this year. Amen. You're dismissed.